Are we alone? The question of whether or not there's other life in the universe is one that generations of scientists and space explorers have hoped to answer. And it may be that to find the answer, we need to look deeper into the origins of life on our own planet. Here to do that is Mario Livio, co-author of the new book, Is Earth Exceptional? The Quest for Cosmic Life. Mario is an astrophysicist who worked with the Hubble Space Telescope and is the best-selling author of 7 books. His co-author, Jack Szostak, is a professor of chemistry at the University of Chicago and a recipient of the 2009 Nobel Prize for Physiology or Medicine. Here's Mario to share 5 of their big ideas.
Book bite number 1. Life. How did it start here? And does it exist elsewhere? 2 of the most intriguing questions in science today are, how did life on Earth begin? And is there life elsewhere in the universe? Remarkably, in spite of the fact that laboratory studies of the origin of life typically explore the microcosm, while astronomical quests for extraterrestrial life examine the macrocosm, the attempts to answer these questions have an intertwined, symbiotic relationship. In fact, success in one will serve as a powerful motivational source for the other. The reason is simple. If biochemists can delineate in the lab a clear path from pure chemistry to a living cell, nature could perhaps do it too, and this would encourage the astronomical search. Similarly, if astronomers were to detect even just one extrasolar planet with unambiguous signs of life, this would suggest that once the conditions are favorable, the emergence of life from chemistry may be inevitable, which would embolden the origin of life studies. Book bite number 2. The chicken or the egg? One of the main characteristics of life as we know it is its self-referential, recursive nature. Take, for instance, the relationship between 2 of the main components of life, the nucleic acids, RNA and DNA, and proteins. RNA and DNA are responsible for the storage of operational instructions and of the information that must be passed on from one generation to the next. Proteins are the real workhorse molecules of life, carrying out most of the biochemical functions of the cell. But RNA and DNA are the agents that encode the information that is needed for the construction of proteins, while at the same time, the assembly of RNA and DNA themselves requires proteins. For many years, this type of circular correlation of current life convinced many scientists that life could only have emerged through an almost miraculous chemical accident. So which came first, nucleic acids or proteins? The answer came from a stunning discovery that RNA could also act as a protein enzyme. That is, it could enhance and catalyze chemical reactions just like a protein enzyme. In principle, therefore, RNA could act as both the chicken and the egg. It could even catalyze its own synthesis. The implications of this discovery were astounding. The origin of life might come down simply to the origin of a self-replicating RNA molecule. It was this realization that led to the model of an early RNA world on Earth.
I'm Jack Szostak. I'm a professor of chemistry at the University of Chicago, and I've been studying the origin of life for many years. I'm now going to read Book Bite 3. How can we even study something that happened so long ago? Since we can't observe the emergence of the first life on Earth, or even the environment of the early Earth, is the study of life's origins even a legitimate subject of scientific inquiry? This question arises frequently, but we believe that the very question carries within it assumptions that are overly pessimistic. For example, we know that the laws of physics and chemistry haven't changed since our sun and planet first formed, so any model of how life began has to be consistent with those laws. Moreover, we know a lot, and are learning more every year, about how stars and planets form, including our own planet Earth. Astronomical and geological studies combine to tell us that the Earth was at first so hot as to be molten. And yet, we have only to look around to see that the Earth is now reasonably clement. So, we know that the Earth cooled over time, and from the laws of physics we can estimate how long it took until our planet had cooled enough to have liquid water and interesting chemistry on its surface. As we delve ever more deeply into that interesting chemistry, the possibilities expand exponentially. But we can prune the branches of that tree of possibilities but requiring that proposed reactions truly work in laboratory experiments. Finally, we have to be realistic about the goals of our studies, for we cannot expect to know exactly how life began on the young Earth. What we can, and most likely will know, is how life might have begun, in the sense of a detailed, step-by-step pathway in which every chemical process and geological scenario is realistic and consistent with everything else we know. This is the achievable goal of Origin of Life research. Book Bite 4, When the Pieces Start to Fit Together. Studying the origin of life often seems like trying to solve a gigantic jigsaw puzzle. There are innumerable chemical reactions that could have taken place on the early Earth. So how do we know where to start? Which chemical processes and transformations were relevant to the origin of life, and which are mere distractions? We begin with a relatively small number of starting materials, molecules as simple and abundant as water, carbon dioxide, nitrogen, methane, cyanide, and so on. The end of our wanderings through chemical space must be the building blocks of biology. Again, a relatively small number of key chemicals. The problem lies in between those simple beginnings and the simple ending, since in that intermediate space the number of reactions and compounds can seem immeasurable. Consequently, studying the synthesis of a single compound in isolation cannot tell us whether that compound or its synthesis might be important or could just be a misleading red herring. What we look for, therefore, are patterns that link independent findings together. It is truly a magical moment when a set of seemingly unrelated discoveries suddenly start to fit together into a coherent picture that is in turn a fragment of the larger tapestry. As an example, a certain organic chemical was recently discovered to play a remarkably effective role in the chemistry of RNA copying. This particular compound had never before been suggested to participate in the origin of life, and there was no reason to think that it could have been synthesized in a plausible manner on the early Earth. Yet, shortly after the discovery of its possible role in RNA replication, not one but two ways in which it could have been synthesized were discovered. Most surprising, these synthetic pathways were very closely related to routes leading to the synthesis of the building blocks of RNA themselves. Thus, there appears to be an unexpected connection between the synthesis of the building blocks of RNA, their activation, and the replication of RNA. These are the types of relations we are looking for as we try to construct a path from chemistry to biology.
Book Bite number 5. Don't guess, search. Astronomical discoveries in the last 3 decades have shown that our Milky Way galaxy may be teeming with Earth-sized planets orbiting in the so-called habitable zone of their host stars. The habitable zone is that range of distances from the central star in which the temperature on the surface of a rocky planet is neither too hot nor too cold, so that the planet can sustain liquid water on its surface, and therefore can potentially harbor life. The fact that there may be as many as 1 billion such planets in the Milky Way alone has led many people to assume that there must exist extrasolar planets that harbor life. This conclusion, however, is at best premature. Since we have not discovered yet any life outside of the Earth, we have no idea what is the probability for life to emerge on a planet, even if the conditions are ideal. In fact, the latest finding from the Origin of Life research suggests that separate geochemical scenarios need to be linked together precisely in the right sequence so as to be able to produce the building blocks of life in the same place at the same time. Since at the moment we cannot calculate the probability for the entire sequence of steps to occur, it is impossible to conclude whether the appearance of life on Earth was inevitable or a freak chemical accident. To attempt to answer the question of whether extraterrestrial life exists, we have no choice but to aggressively search for it using advanced astronomical observations.
Thank you, Mario. That was 5 Big Ideas from Is Earth Exceptional? The Quest for Cosmic Life by Mario Livio and Jack Szostak. You might also like our book bite for Interstellar, The Search for Extraterrestrial Life and Our Future in the Stars by Avi Loeb. I'm Michael Kovnat. Have a great day.